That's in the hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man.
Auto press. What day is it? What time is it? Nobody knows. JP.
Yo, Stu. I think while we're recording, it is Sunday. The 19th of April.
I've just started it's just day. Like,
just day?
Day. What does it matter? Monday, Sunday, Friday. The only reason I know it's Sunday is that we can't go to Chick-fil-A.
See, the only day of the week I know is Taco Tuesday. Every other day is just normal, except the past few weeks have been great PGA Tour rewinds.
Yes. So. Obviously, we had the Masters a couple weeks ago, but then this week we had some Brendan Todd action in the 2015 Heritage.
2015 Heritage. I tuned in like right at 3:40 and didn't really intend on watching. I was just seeing if they were showing something out of curiosity. And then B. Todd is hitting a chip, and I'm like, whoa, this is great. And then the rest of the afternoon, I mean, it's old school Brendan Todd just going at it. He shot two over the first round, and then I think he got to the final group.
Very possibly.
I think he shot two over, and then he was like 17 under the next three rounds or something. Yeah.
Good old days of 2015.
But it was cool. Cool to see him wearing a MLB shirt. I'm sure that you've worn the exact same shirt that was on that TV during KMG at some point.
Most likely. Most likely.
Very good chance.
Yep.
But this is our first recording since COVID-19.
Yeah, and we got an interview with Chris Hill coming up, who's the head golf coach at St. Edwards. And a long story, but he got a call last week that his program got canceled out of nowhere. So he's had an interesting few days. But we during the interview, I mean, I brought it up. The last time we talked or had an official podcast, I shouldn't say last time we talked, but the last time we had a podcast was the Wednesday of the Players Championship, and we were all excited that you had your picture with Amanda Baleonis. We had boots on the ground, a great report from you on what to expect for the tournament. And I mean, we're 5 weeks later, and 22 million people have lost their jobs, and people are scared to go to the grocery store. You got a side gig.
Speaking of going to the grocery store.
Basically because people are scared to go to the grocery store.
I'm helping the community out today. Can I do a humble brag on JP?
Absolutely. We're all about it.
Today, I've been Instacarting, okay? So this is what we're getting into. But I'm up in Rochester, where we have the greatest grocery store system in the world, Wegmans, where they have ample amounts of hand sanitizer, wet wipes for the carts. They are hand sanitizing all the carts they bring in, blah, 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 blah. I can go on and on about how great Wegmans is, but we get it. Anyway, I've been Instacarting, just helping out the people. And today somebody wanted Cottonelle tissue or toilet paper, but on their thing said, do not contact. I'm like, oh, well, they don't have any. They don't have the 48-roll Cottonelle toilet paper here or any other Cottonelle toilet paper that I can combine to make 48 rolls. So I'm just going to get away from this. Obviously, she don't want to be communicated with, so I'm done with that. So I refund on the toilet paper. Common thing that happens because toilet paper apparently is the only thing you need during COVID-19. Fast forward and make my delivery. She answers the door. Nice, sweet old lady. Hand her everything. I said, sorry about the toilet paper. They didn't have the brand. She goes, oh, you didn't get any toilet paper? And almost came to tears and told me she really needed toilet paper. So I was like, listen, I'm going to make a couple more deliveries today. If I see some, I'll get you some. So I was like, does the brand matter? She goes, no, I just really need some. I'm like, okay, well, I'll get you some. So then I went to a bigger Wegmans, for my next batch. And I saw a family pack of the Wegmans brand toilet paper. So I just got it, brought it to her after I made my delivery, of course. And just ring the doorbell real quick because it was raining. I didn't want to be sitting on the porch. She answered the door quick. She's like, oh, my God, you're an angel. Thank you so much. And yeah, don't worry about it. You have a good day. And I started to leave. She's like, no, I want to give you something. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm good. You need something, whatever. So I start backing out. She comes, like, barreling out with her dog. And she's like, here, take this. She gives me $5. And I'm like, great, thanks. The toilet paper cost $13.49. I bought her this whole family pack of Wegmans. So I spent more money on toilet paper than either one of the deliveries made to her. Just a funny story from the road. But I'm just trying to do something to keep my time up. I mean, I'm still reaching out to kids and whatnot, but doing this on the side.
That's good stuff, though. Just people helping people. So how did... like I said, it's been a little over a month since we did anything just because of the craziness. But how did it go down with you finding out, you know, you're on the road with your team on that Wednesday, obviously at the Players. The whole world basically stopped that Thursday and Friday. You know, when did you find out your season got canceled?
Yeah, we were on spring break, actually, for that week. So we finished up a tournament in Savannah and then had spring break through the rest of the week. I had an opportunity to get the guys down to the Players, St. Brendan, and we lined up a match with Army West Point, just a little scrimmage. And that was on that Thursday in Statesboro, the University of, what is it, South Georgia? South Georgia?
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern. Sorry.
That's all right. You had the correct words.
Yeah, I was close by. I was thinking like Statesboro. I was combining a bunch of stuff for some reason. So we had a match with them, and actually, a kid that plays for Army, Gunnar Doyle. He's from my hometown of Rochester, and we were talking beforehand about the match and everything. And they had a different number than we did, so I ended up playing with them and playing with Gunnar, and we're riding around the whole day just shooting the shit and talking about everything. And then you keep seeing on Twitter, oh, the Ivy League's canceled sports, the Pac-12 canceled spring season. Bob, you just kind of keep seeing the snowball happen. And then played our match and they start canceling more D1 stuff. But I'm like, you know what, we're D3, we still could be okay. We're funded differently, blah, 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 who knows. And then we went to Chick-fil-A after the match, and the tweet went out from somebody that all NCAA sports were canceled. And at that point, it really became a little bit more real. You know, you keep the hope going the whole day until finally it's ripped from you.
You could see it coming, but until they...
You could see the snowball building. You could see it just, the wave, whatever you want to say it is, going at you. But I was also around my guys, and I got to try and remain positive so they're just not getting down. And that thing just kept going. It's just like another one canceled, another one this. Then one of our tournaments got canceled. And it's like, well, our school's still operating. Can we set up another tournament somewhere else for the schools that are still going? What does this mean if a school from the Northeast can't play? Do we cancel NCAA now? You know, so you start thinking of all these things and it's just kind of going crazy. And then we've got a 5-hour drive back to Piedmont, and we found out bad news that everything was done.
Oh, that's just crazy.
It was interesting, man. I mean, in the few short years I've done it, it was easily the toughest and also one of the most rewarding van rides I've had. I mean, everybody was just so in tune, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, we pulled over and saw the sunset. I don't know where we were. Took a cool picture there. and you kind of come together a little bit more during that situation. So that's a good positive to take away from it.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things with golf and y'all being on the road, and like you said, you still got to drive 5 hours to get back home.
Yeah.
I mean, and
well, I mean, like you experienced playing golf, you get a lot closer with the coach and everything's just more intertwined because you're all in that van. It's not like you're charter busing where you can get your own little hiding spot and your coach might not be talking to everybody the whole time. I mean, we got five kids in the van. We're,
yeah.
The line between friendship, player, coach is very small to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're out there, and I mean, we're all feeling the same things, and I was trying to be tough, but there were times, I mean, I knew I had to keep those sunglasses on. It was just brutal, man. Especially trying to look like Josh. And
yeah.
I try to separate the team from the podcast a little bit, but Josh was my senior this year, and looking next to him, knowing what happened there, and then you're being selfish at the same time because you don't realize how big this virus thing is. You're just like, oh man, how bad does this affect me? It pales in comparison to a lot of other things, you know.
Yeah, but even I can't imagine being a senior in high school or a senior in college, because you look towards that senior year and you know the end is not fun, but you know when it's coming. And
every time you play somewhere, you know, this is my last time playing the Legends tournament, the last time playing this tournament. But you're not really ready for the last time playing any tournament.
Yeah, and then for it to literally in 48 hours just be done. And I know they've done some stuff with eligibility, but there are a lot of moving parts for a lot of people that I think, you know, I don't know that a ton of people will actually come back. But,
right.
I mean,
it's easy to say you get another year.
Yeah.
Besides football, nobody's on a full ride.
Right. Yeah, it sounds great.
That's cost everybody.
Right. Yeah, how do you fund all those guys? And what do they, you know, if they're a senior and they're not going pro, they may have a job lined up. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it and saying, oh, y'all can come back and play another year.
Right.
It's a nice gesture, but it's not really.
And then we got people like what we just learned about with Chris, what they're going to do.
Yeah, so. And you get people losing their programs altogether. It's not good.
Just weird times. Tough to find the positives. Got to try to somehow.
Well, let's switch gears to something positive real quick, and maybe we can get a little more into it next week. But we got golf coming back
next week. You want to get going again?
Absolutely. I texted you a couple weeks ago.
I know, I've been depressed.
I felt like you needed an outlet just to come on and let it out.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
golf's coming back.
Yeah, we got to talk about the whole schedule, huh?
Yeah, we can get back into that next week, but we can probably wrap up the catch up so that we can get to the interview with Chris and the St. Edwards Golf.
Yeah,
and
right, Bryson Worley. I know he knows Chris. They play against each other, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, and try to. I mean, just so many ripple effects from all this that, you know, people don't think about. And I know people that listen to this podcast love golf, obviously, but a lot of people out in the rest of the world probably don't think about how much a golf season means to somebody, or, you know, these kids that are playing at Piedmont and St. Edwards, how much, you know, they want to have a great senior year. They want to have a great time too.
Yeah.
It affects a lot of people. Yeah.
Are you just talking about golf in general too?
Well, like just how much, just how much it affects.
Like think about these communities that have lost all this charity from like the Valspar and the Heritage and everything.
Yeah. Well, the Heritage is back on the schedule.
Oh yeah.
In mid June.
They announced the Punta Cana's back on the schedule. The reason why are you laughing?
I don't know. That just seems like a random one for you to pick out that it's back on the schedule.
I was about to tell you why it's not random.
Okay, what's your angle here?
Gavin Hall, one of my very good friends, had Monday qualified for it a week before it got canceled.
Really?
So it got canceled, and I asked him, and he's like, yeah, not a big deal at this point. But now it's back on the schedule. And they granted all the Monday qualifiers back into it.
Nice.
So, that's big time.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Heritage still gets Spencer Ralston. It sounds like he's still going to be in it.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't.
Well, they're not getting... They're getting limited... There's no more Monday qualifiers for these events or anything.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they're trying to take care of all their members more.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well.
Somebody like Dom might not play again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's save that for next week.
Yeah, we'll do more next week. All right.
Chris Hill. A fun interview with Chris Hill.
He's a man. Oh, he's also friends with Paul Chavez. So now we've covered a couple guys from UT Golf Camp for me.
I like it. And he talked. Is Paul Chavez?
We didn't even bring up Chavez with them. Jeez.
You got to write stuff down.
I know. I lost focus for a little bit. Chavez has worn white belts before.
Anyway, we get into a lot of stuff with Chris, and it was a lot of fun. And even about him being on a reality show, which I thought was pretty funny. So
that was interesting. All right. See you, Stuart.
All right. Y'all have fun with the interview.
Well, Stu, we are back from COVID-19 virus outbreak pause on AutoPress.
We're back.
For a special night. It's our first one of COVID. It's also our first Canadian coming on. We got our friend Chris Hill coming on. I'm going to say current coach at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and we're going to get into his whole story and a little bit of the reason of why I just emphasized current. But Chris, happy to have you here.
Thanks, JP. Thanks, Stu. I miss seeing you, JP. But
yeah, we'll see you again.
And war damn eagle to you, Stu.
War eagle. Now y'all are golf camp buddies, right?
Yeah, that's how we met at golf camp at UT. In the dying, I mean, just the worst heat you've ever experienced. And we're both not in the best of shape. And we're sweating from spots we have no idea where it's coming from. And all we want is to have a Miller Lite as soon as this thing ends.
Oh. And it looked more to that, too. Chris Hill now appreciates after this past year what golf camp's really like. He had this cushy job the first couple of years where he just shuttled kids from the range to the first tee to play. Wearing a bucket hat, and he like drove the snacks and waters around. I mean, come on, you know what it's really like now.
Yeah, I got demoted this year. I was in the trenches. Do you want to tell? Well, there's an older coach who's probably, how old's Coach Crumpton? Early 70s.
He's maybe mid 70s.
And he's in the he requests the bunker station, and it is humid and between 90 and 95. And we're
the bunker's a little higher up, no shade,
nothing. And he went down, so I lost my basically bev cart job. and JP just loved it.
Yeah, it was because I've been down in that chipping green for 3 or 4 straight years now.
And you're just, I mean, it's amazing. You put 8 kids in a bunker for a 15-minute station. Just how many balls are just rifled out of that deal.
Mm.
Oh,
It's yeah, awesome fire.
That is not but, good.
Yeah, you know, I learned the trick of, you know, a lot of water breaks. Make sure the kids are in the shade. A little bit
gotta,
more water.
You got to give them a lot of amount of balls. You got to be like, all right, we're starting with 15 balls. Those are your balls. Once they're gone, you wait, and then we go pick them up.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can do it.
It's but too another, bad. It's too bad we're not going to have golf camp this year.
Still hopeful.
Fingers I hope crossed. So. I hope so.
What, one more connection to us here, and Chris, you just found this out, but Stewart was teammates of Jonathan Bismuke. Who get, you were mentioning gave you your first coaching opportunity. Give us a little bit of that info and run us briefly through your background.
Yeah, so I went from Canada, Sarnia, Ontario, went to school at Wayne State University, Division II school, found my way down to Hilton Head, South Carolina, when Hank Haney started the Hank Haney IJGA. And as I had a little bit of mix. Gary Gilchrist was transitioning out and Hank was coming in. Spent 1 year there. It was a fun time. I mean, my job was to drive Morgan Hoffman, Marta Silva, and Shea Fang to AJGA tournaments. That was one of my main ones.
Hold on, you did one more thing too that directly affected me, and I don't know if you knew this.
I was on a reality TV show.
Well, I don't know about that, but you drove Mac Duke to go to Huntingdon.
And oh, Mac
Duke was National Freshman of the Year when I was there. So
he turned out that good.
He was a Phil Mickelson Award winner.
Wow. Here, I just put that on my resume.
Yeah, the kid was good.
Well, it's on my resume, which I might need to dust off in a couple of days.
Yeah. All right, but keep going. You're driving Morgan Hoffman.
Driving those guys around, having fun. You know, I was 24 living, they put us up in a place, and I mean, I was living right by the beach playing skins games and just having a blast at the Tiki Hut every Saturday, Sunday afternoon. I'm not sure why I ever left.
I was about to say, that sounds pretty, sounds like a pretty good deal.
Hilton Head was a blast. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to be there very long, so I lived with the Nevada Reno coach, Jacob Wilner. We just played every single golf course we could. We abused every privilege we could to get on Long Cove, Colton River. I mean, you name it, we played it. And then I went from there to Houston Baptist, which was transitioning back into Division I. And that's when I met Diz. He was the assistant at Texas A&M. And we quickly became friends. And, you know, they won the national championship. And he gave me the heads up that he was, you know, Houston was going to hire him, and I had to wait. He had did his first year at Houston. He didn't have an assistant. And so his second year is when they allowed him to hire an assistant. I was the first assistant coach ever at University of Houston. And we spent 4 years together and we built that baby up. It was 178th or 179th in the country when we started. And we got that thing to top five in our last year. We won six tournaments. And if Bryson DeChambeau didn't go crazy after a rain delay at Prairie Dunes, and he brought like four of the last five the year he won NCAAs, and he knocked us out of match play by a stroke. I won the Jan Strickland Award with Diz that last year. So during my time at Houston, we started women's golf, and Diz became the director, and I became the associate coach. And so that means we had to start women's golf, and I didn't know anything about women's golf. And he had 1 year at Ole Miss as kind of the assistant. And, you know, he's like, I remember I was supposed to go on vacation. I was supposed to go somewhere. I can't remember where I was supposed to go. He's like, Hill, I need you to go, you know, his little accent, he's rubbing his little hands together from Mississippi. He's like, I want you to go to San Francisco, you know, and watch some girls golf. I'm like, no, I'm not going there. He's like, yeah, I already booked your ticket. I'm like, I'm not going to San Francisco. And he's like, yeah, you are. Here's your ticket. I get off the plane. I had no idea San Francisco was cold in July. I come off with flip-flops and just kind of – I literally thought this was pure vacation mode for me. I'm like, I don't know anything about women's golf. You know, I'm going to go I already Googled, you know, a couple of good craft brewery spots. I was going to go to Anchor Steam and just kick back and have fun. It's freezing cold when I get off.
And you're just thinking California, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
This is one of the very first times I've ever been to California.
Right.
Yeah. I get off in San Francisco. Like, what is this? Why is it cold? Where's this fog coming from? he sends me a Lake Merced for the U.S. Girls Championship. I sat on whatever the first par three was, either 3 or 4 or 12 or 13. Kind of went downhill a little bit. And I sat on the hill and I went and got, you know, the starter sheet. And the hole was it was between 175, 180. And any girl that hit an iron got a big old check mark. Any girl that hit a wood, scratch it off. So I do this for 2 straight days. I just sat and watched every girl go through here.
You didn't even watch where the ball went?
No, not at all. not at all. I wasn't even paying attention. And then the next day I went and played Harding Park, and I went home. I rented a set of clubs, played Harding Park, and then flew home. And I get home, and he was gone, I think, the next week to the U.S. Boys or somewhere. And then I went to the Canadian Boys Championship, and then we finally connect. And he's like, hey, we need to add a couple girls, you know. We started this stuff, and we need a couple right now. He's like, where are your notes? I went and got them. And usually I have a pretty detailed report I handed them. And I hand them, like, these, like, rolled-up napkins that looked like I was just, like, he's like, what is this? And they're all crumpled and just mangled. I'm like, well, that's my notes from the girls' championship. He's like, there's only 4 girls here that you like.
The only ones that hit iron from 150.
He goes to me, he's like, do you even know who these girls are? I said, no. He's like, all 4 of those girls, those are the top 4 girls in the tournament. They're already committed. I'm like, well, they're pretty good. That's all I know. And I walk out of his office, and he's just, rah, rah, rah. That was the extent of my Division I women's recruiting at University of Houston.
So who was the head coach for the women?
We hired Garrett Shadwell.
So you and Diz were charged with finding some people to help start the program?
We had to get – the first year we had a couple girls. They gave us a year to recruit.
I got you.
To kind of give us a head start. And during that year is when we hired – I think we hired Garrett maybe in October or November. So we had the from July 1st until maybe, you know, January 1, we were the acting women's golf coaches. And he didn't send me on the road to watch any more women's golf after that.
Yeah, you're banished.
Banished. Just and Diz, he still laughs at me about that. I've talked to him quite a bit this week with all the stuff that's going on. He still is a great friend, great mentor. But so after that, I mean, I went to the University of Pacific for a year to be a head coach in California. Just it wasn't what I thought it was going to be for my whole family. And I married a pediatric nephrologist that is way too good looking for me. And she went out there. She has family out in California, and we thought it'd be a good move, but she left kidneys and my deal just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And
wait, your wife left kidneys?
A nephrologist is a
nephrologist,
kidney
yeah.
doctor.
Oh, I was confused with what you're saying. I'm like, what do you mean she left kidneys? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, wait, God. So you guys just packed up and left a couple kidneys behind?
Yes. Threw them out the window.
Yeah. I can sell one.
Yeah, you only need one. Yeah, sell the other one. I need donations for St. Edward's Golf. So I mean, maybe that's what we can start that.
I'll give you some of my Instacart proceeds.
That's awesome. We went out there for a year, wasn't what we both thought. And then one of her doctors she really looked up to in nephrology was about to retire. And UT Med School was about to join up with the Children's Hospital in Austin, and it made perfect sense. I remember I called Coach Fields. It was July 4th weekend. I said, hey, you have a volunteer spot or anything, you know, kind of what's going on? And he's like, well, let me think about it, blah, 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 and I'll circle back with you tomorrow. And well, the next day, this Division III school, Concordia, opened up. And we're driving up to Lissa's parents' place to kind of tell them we were leaving and headed to Texas. And it's weird how it all aligned. Is my mentor, who's a basketball coach at – he was a basketball coach at University of Houston, James Dickey. He used to coach at Texas Tech, and it's when Texas Tech made that run in the final – I think they made it to final eight, Elite Eight, when they had Darvin Ham.
Yeah, I remember that.
Early 2000s, and he was a basketball coach at Houston when we were there, and he would sit in our golf office for hours and just talk recruiting with this. I mean, it was just – he was at Oklahoma State forever with Eddie Sutton.
Oh, he had some good stories then, didn't he?
Oh, it was just – we had a great staff. We had Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, yeah.
And James Dickey, and it was just – it was awesome to hear those stories. And then Well, Alyssa, my wife, was looking at the staff director because Coach Fields is the one that pointed out to me. It's like, hey, this little school down the road, Concordia, needs a golf coach. I mean, it's a mile from our golf course. Alyssa went on the staff directory. We figured out Coach Dickey's favorite point guard in his whole career was the athletic director. And I became the Concordia coach about an hour later. Now, basically, I mean, it was a done deal. And went there.
That's good timing for all that.
I know. It was the way things kind of worked. I mean, I'm hoping for another break like that here. I mean, I've always kind of been fortunate where something like that happens. But went there. We won 18 tournaments out of 33 events. And just it was a fun run. And I still had my eyes set on, you know, I really wanted St. Edwards. I mean, St. Edwards to me was – one of the better D2 jobs because they had the whole all-around package. As the education piece, it's located downtown Austin on a hilltop. We're called the Hilltoppers, but it's on a hilltop overlooking all of downtown.
You put the hill in Hilltoppers.
Coach Fields. Coach Fields. So Coach Fields from Texas, his daughter played golf there and his son-in-law played golf there. And he loves telling stories.
Every year at the beginning of camp, all the coaches line up, and he introduces everybody down the line to all the campers. And he always gets to Chris, and he'll start talking about him, and he goes, he's at St. Edwards over there. It's in Austin. Does anybody know their mascot? There'll be one kid who had been in the previous session that mouths off, the Hilltoppers, and then mm-hmm. – Fields goes, Chris, put the hill back in Hilltoppers.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's the way he called when he calls me. That's the first thing he says to me. He isn't gonna say hello anymore. He's like, are you putting the hill back in the Hilltoppers? Like, yeah, Coach, I'm trying. So I just finished my second year there, and 18 of the last 19 years we've made Super Regionals. They've come second in the final, second and third in the finals. We've only been Division II since 2000. They were NAIA, you know, I think from about sometime in the 70s all the way up. They were NAIA program kind of all over the place with NAIA. And they were, sometimes they were in, sometimes they're out. It's, and there's no history kind of follow it. So it's, you know, and the internet wasn't the way it is. So it's hard to track. But since basically 2000, you know, 18 of the last 19 years, we've made the tournament. And there's been a great list of coaches that have come through there. Mark McIntyre was the first one. He left to go to LSU, and then he went to College of Charleston. Now he's at Middle Tennessee State. And then Ryan Murphy went to Texas as a men's assistant. Now he's the head women's coach. And then Todd Olemeyer was here before me for 9 years, and he did a great job, you know, and he left to kind of be semi-retired. And then the women's coach is probably one of the best in the business, Jennifer McNeil. And we became friends, you know, back when I was at Houston, and she took a chance. I mean, she basically recruited me and hired me. And
how long has she been there?
since the start of the men's program. She was actually, she coached the men for a year when they were trying to get it going. Okay. So she kind of did what I did, but reverse, you know, when I was with Diz. And, you know, and we had it going. We got a couple of kids to transfer in. I brought four guys with me from Concordia when I transferred. I got a kid, grad transfer from Baylor, Austin Cotton. And the ball was rolling.
Yeah, and you're saying the ball's rolling. We haven't even talked about what's happened, I don't think.
No. You know, and
so,
you've
got to hear it in your voice.
Yeah,
there's a depression when you're talking about it.
I'm
just getting to the point. So I'm just going to get to the point. Chris found out this past week that St. Edward's program has been terminated for the future. And Chris, you can go on forward from there, but
yeah,
if anybody's wondering.
It's crazy that the week I had last, I got a huge commitment from a 2021 recruit last weekend. And then I got an Austin kid to commit on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I'm kind of messing around with my schedule a little bit, trying to save some money because I'm watching the news. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to be able to go to Seattle next September. You know, and then 8:30, we're supposed to have staff meeting at 9. 8:30, my assistant coach, Wes Hansen, calls me, he wanted to talk about the depth chart. We kind of go over some of the depth chart stuff. And we had like 10, our biggest problem was we were going to have 15 guys on the team. And how are we going to play five of them at a time? That was my biggest dilemma before 9 o'clock on Wednesday. We get on the Zoom phone call. We all thought, all the coaches across the board, we thought it was just a normal, our regular staff meeting. Well, it wasn't. 5 minutes later, it was literally a 5-minute call. They cut us. The athletic director comes on due to budget cuts and COVID-19. There's six sports, five NCAA sports and cheerleading cut. 5 minutes, done. You'll expect an email from HR telling you what to do. And then another email, how to handle your players. And
just
I was done. Boom, done. Thanks for coming. Our soccer coach has been here 17 years. Our women's golf coach has been here forever. But our men's tennis program was sixth in the country. We were the worst ranked team, and we were 24th in the country or that collective group.
Wow.
And done. No warning, no nothing. Just, you know, back in February, our boss told us in a staff meeting that, you know, we're having some budget issues. That was our only warning. There was
from a golf standpoint. I mean, I know we were looking over some notes that you provided for another thing you did. You did a lot of private funding for your program, and you didn't even have enough scholarships. So how does, and I'm not trying to spin a negative light here, but
no,
how does the budgeting really affect for that?
I wish I knew. I mean, we have 2.4 scholarships to spread amongst, you know, we would have 15 players. So, I mean, that's fractional scholarships divvied up. And the school next year was going to be $66,000.
And you probably could have gotten away with most of your kids just foregoing their scholarships to keep playing for you.
If this was presented to us in a different way where, you know, I think this, if they ask me how could we have done it differently, or even if it doesn't, you know, if it ends, I wish they would have came to us earlier and said, Chris, you need to rally the troops. Let's figure out a way, you know, by whatever date we need to raise X amount of money or else your program's going to be terminated. And I would have said, okay, let's make it work. You know, that's the feasible thing. Let's make this thing work. And all the other coaches would have took, you know, a budget cut or a scholarship reduction. That's pretty common across NCAA from my research of what's going on is schools are not cutting programs as of right now. They might come in the future, but it seems like the economy is turning back slowly. They're not cutting programs. They're reducing scholarships. There's pay cuts being given, or, you know, they're being, you know, shared or whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's pay cuts and there's budget cuts. I mean, those are realistic options to do first, but we didn't have those options.
What happened with Furman a few years ago? They canceled their program, not under like the COVID circumstance, obviously, but it is canceled out of the blue, and a bunch of people got together. And have you done any research for that?
Yeah,
were they given an option, or did they just do that privately, like you are?
I think they were given an option.
Okay.
There's two coaches that, not at Furman, but I can't remember the old Furman coach's name, but they went to the donors and figured out a way to float it for a couple of years while they figured out how to restructure it financially.
That should never be in trouble, by the way.
No. And I mean, ultimately, a lot of these smaller programs and smaller schools is they want to get something endowed, you know, whether endow the scholarships, endow the coach's salary, operating budget, or the whole thing. I mean, that's what they're ultimately looking for.
Yeah, and I found a little article on Furman. It was 2014, and basically they raised $300,000 to fund the school fund the golf program for a couple of years, and then they're, went the private fund route, which.
And I think that's where we're at. You know, I assembled a great group of guys that are super passionate about keeping golf, that are super connected. And they had a meeting with administration last Friday, about 2.5-hour meeting. It went really well, a lot of positive feedback, and people are very optimistic about that. You know, let's figure out a way to keep this thing going. And when we keep it going, let's figure out a long-term plan to really, you know, knock this baby out and keep it around forever.
What are the other programs doing?
Right.
Like the men and women's tennis and the are they trying to do the same thing you are?
They are. And we're all one of the neat things is a kid on my team, Nico Chevalier, and his roommate, Carlos, they started a petition just kind of, you know, just joking around, you know, maybe trying to get 1,000 people. Maybe he thought they would get 500. And so they did it on last Thursday. And as of right before I came on the show here Sunday night, it's they're at 12,000.
Wow.
I mean, we only have 4,000 people go to school.
Yeah.
And so what we've done, what their teams are rallying the alumni, and we're fortunate in golf, as you guys know, that, you know, people love golf that have no affiliation with St. Edward's.
Right.
You know, I've had, it's been the support the last 2 days. You know, being in COVID right now has kind of been a blessing because people aren't really, I mean, everyone's at home kind of going stir crazy. And they're like, yeah, well, I'll write a letter to St. Edward's. Yeah, what do you need? You want social media? You want to go, I mean, like you guys, want me to go on a podcast? I mean, I had a guy tell me he's been helping me collect letters and kind of, you know, doing some work behind the scenes about fundraising, and he got all fired up because he put his work clothes on yesterday, and it was like a day of work
to do that.
Yeah, and he's trying to help raise money, you know, but it's just sad. It's sad it came to this right at this time. I mean, it's hard enough to fundraise dollars, but then you put the economy, you know. And it's hard. It's hard to, like, I'm really upset for the kids, and there's 73 current athletes that they're cutting, you know, in all the sports, plus all the verbal commitments, and then the coaching staff. And I found out today that they laid off or they eliminated 3 more positions. Our compliance officer is gone. Facilities manager is gone. So there's no one running any facility. I don't know how this is gonna work. There's no compliance director, and they let go one of our full-time trainers.
Now, is this all COVID related?
That's what
they're saying.
That's the mask they're throwing on.
So I hope, you know, with the amount of publicity, and I think I've done 4 or 5 radio shows.
Yeah, how'd you start getting connected? So you've been on Hank Haney's podcast, and then you were just on Colt Nose tonight.
Colt Nose.
Do you know these guys prior? I mean, you must have known Colt a little bit, maybe.
No, I didn't know Colt.
So how'd this all work out? Well, Hank Haney did the IPGA.
Hank I worked for. And then Colt read something online, just on Twitter. And he reached out to the guy that – it's a funny story with Colt, and I told it on his show. Is kid on our team's dad used to – I'm not sure what his title, but he was a head Callaway rep for all of the PGA Tour. And he would go on the truck week in and week out. And I was with him last year at the Colonial. And Callaway was switching trucks. They were about to get a brand new truck. And they had a big storage unit. And they were just going to basically throw all the stuff out. And he handed me a whole bunch of wedges. And he said, why don't you just, you know, save these for practice for the guys or donate them to the team. And I have 6 wedges there. Colt knows this. And the 58 degree hosel.
Just randomly.
Yeah. And Colt called me yesterday. And I'm like, hey, I'm actually holding your wedge right now. He's like, what? I'm telling him a story. I'm like, what happened to the 58 degree wedge? That hosel is just mangled. And he's just dying. I told him that story tonight on the show. He's just dying laughing. He's like, you better not touch those drivers. He's like, that driver. Those drivers just go too short. Like, that's why I'm here.
Just but, don't go far enough.
The local media just, I deferred a whole bunch of the interviews to the kids because it's about, you know, people don't need to see my face. I mean, I don't.
You don't want them to see your face.
Absolutely. I mean, I've already done my college golf, and it's the best years of my life. You guys played college golf, but you know what it's like. I mean, it's the best memories ever, and I want the kids to have that. I mean, forget about me. I mean, coaching's coaching. I mean, no matter where we coach, we're going to coach, but for a university to take away these kids' dreams and, you know, all the van rides and all the practice rounds, and I mean, all my stories are college golf related. I don't have much else to talk about.
Yeah, same boat.
Yeah, and you know,
I got a few, I guess.
I don't have many anymore. I can talk.
Mine are either college golf or straight up like scramble golf.
Yeah,
that's my life now.
I mean,
so,
but with all this media stuff you've been doing, what about your AD? I mean,
I'm just.
Have you heard from her at all?
None of us coaches have.
I talk to my AD every other day.
What is?
I've talked to him about this already. I said he's going to cancel us.
Yeah.
What is the plan? You said are you getting back together with somebody on Tuesday or this next week?
Yeah, Tuesday. The group of guys. I'm not involved in these meetings. It's a group of guys that are really, there's going to be 5 of them in the call on Tuesday with the vice presidents of the school and some of the advancement department trying to figure out a way to really make this work.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping, I've become a PR rep or PR specialist. It's just the emails and calls and texts, and they're just blowing up my phone. I'm just directing them to the right people. You know, I mean, Twitter. I mean, it's amazing social media, what it can do.
It goes through my Twitter with people retweeting or liking things that I'm not even connected to you with.
I know.
Like, I found out about it before I had heard from anybody from Texas. Just, yeah. I think maybe Lance put something out there. I don't know.
The first 24 hours of this deal, we'll go first 36 hours of it. I had 189 phone calls, and I'm slowly chipping away at it. I got up to a 401 text messages. God. And I locked myself in my office since Wednesday, and just luckily my wife hasn't killed me. But
you answered mine Wednesday night. Man, we must be good friends.
I have fun with you.
Have you heard of any other D2 schools cutting their programs, or anybody else that's in the same boat?
Not yet. I mean, I know there's a school in California, a small one, that cut golf. I know Cincinnati.
I was about to say, I thought Cincinnati did.
Cincinnati cut men's soccer on Tuesday. I've heard of a ton of scholarship reductions and budget cuts.
That's what's crazy.
You know, and then we start talking about the transfer portal. You know, Lance Ringler is tweeting out, he just did it a couple days ago, it's 462 kids in the transfer portal right now.
Like 290 looking for grad school.
290 kids looking for grad school?
I think that's what it was.
And then, you know, my guy that's averaging 75 thinks he's just going to walk in the transfer portal. I mean, I told the guys, I'm like, hey, just pump the brakes. I mean, we need to save this for at least a year. And as soon as September 1st hits, I mean, the transfer portal is going to go back to empty.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of reset it. And these kids don't want to go anywhere. You know, they want to play for St. Edward's.
Well, that's good.
But they're not going to go to school at St. Edward's without golf.
So they need to start figuring it out too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a push on both ends.
Well, the big push is going to be when this doesn't work out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're going to get your wife a job somewhere near Piedmont, and you're just going to bring everybody. And we're going to cohabitate and win a couple of national championships.
Can I coach from Austin and just fly over for tournaments?
Yeah. That's encouraged.
I actually had that. Two people have asked me to be their volunteer coach where I could just fly over for tournaments.
Really?
Yeah, I just.
How much value does a college coach really add during the tournament? Once you get the horses going, you don't want to tell a horse how to run during the tournament or during the race.
JP, we don't run anywhere. it's some kids, you let them run, but I mean,
I'm flying you in to drive the van, bring camaraderie.
Yeah,
I need you there like a week in advance of the tournament so we can start bonding.
I know. Well, I mean, the best part. I mean, once airlines get going, I mean, maybe Piedmont works.
I mean, it's
all over there.
I don't think Emory or Methodist would like that too much, but that'd be awesome. Or Huntington.
Drew Mathers got into the transfer portal.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't have grad school at Huntington.
Really?
So,
I mean, this whole thing is crazy. I mean, JP, I know we haven't talked officially about it, but from the last time we did a podcast was the Wednesday of the Players Championship.
Yeah,
and we were talking about you getting to meet Amanda Baleonis and all sorts of fun stuff. And I mean, since then, both y'all's seasons have been canceled. Currently, you know, Chris's program is canceled. I mean, this has come in basically a month. I mean, it's the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you predicted it in that podcast. You said, maybe not in the one, but when we were off air, you had said that you saw a model that said USA was going to be on lockdown within a week.
Those damn models.
I was like, bro, I was just at the Players today, and there is no lockdown.
I know, and I said, I don't want it to happen, but I said, I can see it coming.
But yeah, I mean,
damn, I didn't think it was going to be like this.
Were you with the team, Chill?
No, I was at practice. No, we were leaving that weekend.
We had just played Savannah, then we were playing a match against Army, and that Thursday was when they canceled everything.
But
so describe how that goes down for y'all. Did both of y'all just get a phone call that basically said, hey, the season's over? I mean,
I found out on Twitter from NCAA.
Yeah, that's where I was at Chick-fil-A in Statesboro when Twitter popped up with that.
Are you trying to get a plug from them?
From Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
not on a Sunday.
but we'll take one.
Yeah. It was our day off, and I was actually on the second hole playing a little skims game.
It seemed like it just kind of kept flowing in. Nobody really knew what was going on for a long time.
I don't think there's going to be a fall season.
Really? JP, what do you think, JP?
I mean, with the tour trying to start back up already, I got to think something's moving quicker. I'm in the Northeast right now. I'm in Rochester. When everybody thinks that I'm in New York City, basically, they think I'm like so infected with COVID, it's unbelievable. But there's definitely less cases where I am than there are in Hall County, Georgia, percentage-wise.
I think there's going to be a whole bunch of one-day matches.
Yeah, but I don't know. Where I am, things are starting to slowly pick back up, back to normal.
Yeah.
More traffic on the road. I think people are starting to get fed up with it. If this is over by mid-May, we're fine for the fall.
I guess the problem is if they let...
You guys are playing junior golf in Texas right now.
No, it's shut down.
I guess the thought process on that, Chris, is if they aren't allowing students and they're doing online classes, then I guess people aren't going to come back to play golf.
Yeah.
Or other sport, any sport.
Yeah, and just from kind of just the research I've done being at, Concordia and then here is smaller schools rely so much on right around now is when kids start transferring, not regular student body, the admissions department, they have their incoming freshmen, whatever percentage that is. But then the next biggest percentage is kids transferring in, and there's no movement for the general public right now. And that's where, the school's hurting financially is they're not getting the normal amount of people transferring into St. Edward's right now. And that's what's hurting. Because every kid that doesn't come to St. Edward's, it really affects sports.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think, I've been saying this for a while, is that I think the Division III model is very sustainable long-term with not having athletic scholarships. And I think if you're not in a Power 5 conference or a school that has a great basketball team or a great, football team that's not at Power 5 where you're getting some of the revenue from TV money, those schools are going to suffer because it's, I can't imagine if there's come September, University of Georgia and Florida and Alabama, if there's no fans. There's going to be cuts coming down. We might be the very first ones of this whole thing, but we're not going to be the last. If there's no fans in these football stadiums,
it's going to change the landscape of education
as
a whole together.
And the next thing that, I've read about through this whole thing that I thought was really interesting is you think about who tailgates for football games is the generation right now that is so glued to their phones, they don't appreciate yet and understand, hey, you need to buy tickets, you need to donate X to get good tickets, and then you show up, you have to pay to tailgate here, and the revenue.
We're getting down a rabbit hole of COVID depression, and I'm gonna dig out of it.
Blow it up.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Last week, did you rewatch the Masters?
I did.
What did you think about Tiger's comments? It was uplifting. He's pumped up.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, I have a 4-year-old, 6-year-old. So I mean,
what about a fall Masters? What do you think about a fall Masters?
I can't wait to see Augusta with, when does the overseed, is it going to be Bermuda still, or is it going to be kind of, is it overseeded, or?
They've got to hold off on the overseed now, I think.
No. I think it's going to be overseeded.
You think?
Yeah. I think that's why they.
It's going to be soggy then.
Yeah, it'll be long. Well, it's already long, but it'll be real long. But yeah, I think that's why they didn't
do it. Can't talk about it.
I think that's why they didn't want to do it in October. I think the overseed wouldn't
still
be all the way in.
I like the replays the golf's been doing. Today they did Jim Furyk winning the Heritage in 2015.
JP, back to Tiger's comments. I couldn't believe that Jim Nantz actually got him to open up. After he made the winning putt on 18, and I actually thought Tiger was going to cry.
Yeah.
He came back and had on the green jacket and everything, but that was like the most emotion I've ever seen out of Tiger, which wasn't much, but it was pretty cool to see, I thought.
It was enough. Are you a Tiger fan, Chris?
Yeah, I love him.
All right, good.
Yeah. Especially when the year I worked for Hank was one of their last years together.
When he wasn't giving him popsicles.
Jesus.
Did you ever read that book?
His Tiger's book?
Hank Haney, The Big Miss.
Oh, yeah, I read it.
He was talking. Yeah. I got a backtrack because I just talked about popsicles and nobody knew what I was saying. So it's just going to sound weird.
Okay.
But in the book, he was complaining about how selfish Tiger was. And he's like, there was one time I was at his house hanging out and Tiger was just playing a video game. He got up and he got himself a popsicle, but he didn't even ask me if I wanted a popsicle. So I said, hey, Tiger, you think I can get a popsicle? And he said, yeah, man, you're in my home. Help yourself. And the fact that that whole little paragraph made it into the book is so mind-boggling. Like you're calling the guy selfish because he didn't. Stuart, if I'm at your house, I don't have to ask you to go get a beer from the fridge or
whatever. JP, you usually walk in and go straight to the pantry.
Yeah. So I know where everything is. Yeah. But that's how I felt their relationship should have been. I don't know. What else we got? Let's do it. We need an auto press from Chris Hill.
I got a whole. The auto press has changed my life.
He does. He does live in. We have a thread of Texas golf coaches where we text each other random auto press things like a parent at a junior event wearing a funny backpack.
I just
pictures.
Yeah.
And I taught the assistant coach at St. Ed's, I taught him what an auto press is. And he does is take pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot look at a white belt the same. I can't. I can't look at a white belt.
A poker chip?
Y'all have to have, JP, you send some of them out too, but man, just going to junior golf, especially nowadays with all the kids think they're Tiger Woods or Rory or Brooks Koepka. I mean,
you guys have changed my world.
The stuff at junior golf though, Chris, like they've got pimped out push carts now. like they've got like neon wheels and stickers, and like one kid will have a seat attached to his push cart.
And coolers and umbrellas.
It's unbelievable.
The umbrella on a push cart is awesome.
When it's not raining.
Yeah.
Chris, what's your favorite van story from college golf? You got some good van stories?
Boy, that's good. As coaching or as
either one.
Yeah, the one I told you guys off air with the that's a good one. I mean, coaching. I just laughed and laughed. But I remember, I mean, with Dismuke, I took over driving.
What would Diz really, do? He just didn't want to drive?
No, we would get lost. I mean, we would.
What do you mean?
Every single time Dismuke drove us around, and all the guys will attest to it, we got lost because he would start telling some story about, you know, and then he's always on his phone, you know, and he's always on his phone.
Dude, you can't do that. You're turning in for texting and driving now.
Oh, now, yeah, but we would just get lost and lost, you know. And I mean, my hardest part of coaching with Diz was he would start talking to someone, and we could never leave anywhere.
Oh gosh, nothing's changed.
And then we would be on. I remember every flight almost, he would find someone he knew somewhere. And I'd be like, "Yep, paging Jonathan Dismuke to E14. The gates are about to close." And
Diz.
And he just come rambling up, wouldn't he? Just
yeah.
Diz is sneaky.
I remember. Yeah, I mean,
you know what he used to do to me? I wasn't very good at golf when I was at Auburn, but I played a ton and I tried. You know, I'd shoot 77 every day of my life at AU Club. Okay?
Okay.
And Diz was trying to play pro golf at the time. And he'd see me out there just all day. Stuart can attest. I never went to class at Auburn for 2 years. I just went to the range. I had this family alumni membership. I could play the AU Club every day. And I started playing with all the guys that were playing the mini tours. Like at the time, Duffner was still on the Nationwide, I think. Kevin Hayford was playing, Will Claxton, Diz. I mean, all these guys. But Diz was around AU Club a lot more than the others. And I'd play with them. We'd play 3 or 4 times a week for lunch at this Chinese place. And he'd beat me every single time. And I didn't have any money to spend on Chinese food. And I'm having to leave this place and go buy him Chinese food. Man, I'd ask him for shots. He never gave me anything. I just got hustled nonstop.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'd be like, "Hey, you can play the next box on 2 par fives of your choice." Like, that's going to matter.
Yeah.
That's my Diz story.
Well, I'm glad he didn't cut you any slack.
You guys didn't like that story.
What do you mean?
No,
there's no reaction out of you.
What should we say? He just beat the hell out of you for a few years and you kept taking it?
Yeah.
Like he was hustling, you should have quit playing.
Do you know Michael Bryce then?
Or
is he too much? Is he older?
He was much older than me, but he was occasionally around on some stuff. I wouldn't say I really know him. I know who he is.
He helped me out at Concordia.
He was at one point coaching at North Florida, wasn't he?
Yeah, I went North Florida, then he was helping out North Florida, and then he did some first tee stuff in Austin. And then when he was here, I mean, we connected through Dismuke, and then now he's at Christian Brothers in Memphis.
Okay, so he's still coaching.
Yep.
Well, me, Bryce, and Chris Hill are best friends at the convention.
So you go to the convention with JP too, Chris?
I probably go every other year.
Okay.
I might be done. I mean, who knows?
Oh, right. But we had a good time, you and Bryce.
We did. Yeah, at CVS.
I got optimism. Right. I'm being optimistic about everything.
I am too. I think this is going to work out.
I hope so. I mean, I've done everything I can on my end to keep this thing going.
It's just so strange that you haven't heard from the AD about anything like, "Hey, this is great stuff. Here's some more ideas." Like, does she not want it? And I know we want to try and think positive stuff here, but man.
I don't know.
Somebody's like, "Here's a free program. It adds to enrollment." Cool.
Yeah, I have no clue what, you know. I know I have about 80 85 to 90 emails from the last 2 days. So,
you need to get back out to the golf course, man. Play.
Yeah. You know, who knows? I mean, I'm in a good spot. You know, it's my wife has a good job. I got two little kids. You know, it's whatever happens, happens, right?
It'll work out. What's your number one auto press though?
My number one auto press is, you know, I cannot look at a white belt.
So that's it. That's what it is.
White belt. Yeah.
Dang. What did you think about him before?
I really, it was like one of those things, like, you kind of look over and you're like, okay, no big deal. But now I notice it. It's just completely changed my view of a white belt. You just can't do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, and the backpack gets me.
Backpack.
The backpack, well, all you need is a water bottle and your phone, and you got a full backpack.
I
hold on,
I
who carries the backpack?
The parents.
They've got these.
What do they have, like Band-Aids and Vaseline in there? I don't know.
They might have a couple of granola bars. I don't know what's in there. I want to know. Usually, you know what the best is? When they're a backpack from a previous tournament. So it was like the gift for the kid. And the parents are now using the backpack.
Yeah, I think y'all should.
So that they want to get clout for playing in the tournament. Oh, you know, like, that's the vibe I get.
I think at some point one of y'all has to confiscate one and figure out what's in there.
I agree. I need to get somebody that's committed and then, like, be watching him and track his mom down and just be like, what's in this thing?
Are they very prevalent at college events nowadays?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
But, I mean, you guys have changed, you know, changed my life with the white belt.
Were you wearing a white belt before?
So if you go back and look at our university, Diz was a big white belt guy. And you go back, I didn't notice it until I started paying attention to pictures. And I have a couple in my office from us winning tournaments, and sure enough, we were wearing white belts in every picture.
Oh, man.
So if
you might have to get Diz on. Because he picked out our uniforms.
So if you go to the Houston men's golf page and click on Jonathan Dismuke, two of the three pictures that scroll by, he's got on a white belt, and it's got the like the big belt buckle, which I guess is the Cougar. I mean, and everybody's wearing them. You're right. Him. And all the players. Everybody's wearing white belt.
In fairness, you guys have had a lot of foreigners and Canadians on the team. And there's
We wear plaid. Canadians wear plaid.
There's a quote that Matt Mahanek gave me about white belts.
My man Mahanek.
But if you got Europeans on the team, you're okay. we'll just leave it at that.
Canadians are big... Canadians are big on plaid.
I don't know. A bunch of Chris Hill's Canadian friends played the Monroe over the years, including Blair Hamilton.
Yeah.
Somebody must have got to Diz though, because the team picture they all have on black belts this year. Maybe he started listening to the podcast. Probably.
We need to get him on.
Probably all those.
I would love to come back with Diz.
Do a.
A duel.
You, Diz. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
I will definitely, I'm going to definitely send him this podcast.
Diz has some time on his hands right now.
So y'all get, well, I know Chris, but JP, you can't do anything golf related, correct? Like, no anything.
I think D1 and D2 are on lockdown. D3 is a little different. Like, if your school could have visits, I think you can have them. We can't anyway. Our school is shut down. So it's irrelevant. But there's nowhere for me to go watch. Like, I can text kids and call kids still.
Okay.
but
Chris, were you able to do anything?
No, same thing. I mean, I haven't been to our school. They share a school down quick. Like, I haven't even been to my office since, I haven't been to my office since February.
Dang.
We had a tournament like right at the end of February.
No way have you not been there since February.
They shut us down on the 12th.
COVID got shut down like March 16th.
No, my wife's birthday is the 12th, and that's the day sports ended.
Yeah, that was that like Wednesday podcasted, JP, that Wednesday.
The 11th?
The NBA shut down Tuesday night when Oklahoma guys had all the stuff going on. Then my wife's birthday on the 12th is the day sports ended.
The day sports ended.
Forever.
That's her quote. She's like, my birthday's going to be known as the day sports ended. I'm like, yeah. always remember.
I've been texting kids and sending them virtual tours and whatnot. And that's about all.
But hey, maybe on Wednesday I'll be your volunteer assistant, man. We'll be fine. All we need is the virtual tours won't work for these guys. We just need to sign them up, show them this website, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll get it going. If you want to play golf, go to Piedmont. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, what reality TV show were you on? You mentioned that earlier.
When I was there, they filmed School of Golf by Hank Haney.
Oh, I remember watching some of that.
Wait, you want to talk about... They filmed 90 hours for 8 hours of TV. I had a camera following me around everywhere for a semester.
Oh, no.
And I was all excited I was going to be on the show. I'm on it like 3 times. You see me walk by. And I was the collegiate services director. I was the kind of middleman trying to help place some of these kids.
Yeah.
And I had one speech before graduation. Besides that, you see me like stacking a range and like getting a bottle of water. I mean, I was all excited. I mean, I'm 24 and I'm calling my parents and I just moved away from home for the first time. But hey, I'm going to be honest with you, I promise. My parents are watching a junior golf show and it's just comical. It was just cheesy and I never got any airtime.
You just did yourself no favors to social media.
You even try and go find it, and you can.
No, you don't even. You don't even know. You don't even know the rabbit hole I just went down.
Yeah, school of golf.
We want to talk about Chris Hill being on videos. Chris Hill had a DVD series about the putting and short game.
Nice.
Yeah, I did that. I forgot about that. I did two of them.
I'm throwing that on the Auto Press Instagram right now.
I have two of them. What was the other one? Competitive practices and short game. I don't know what it was called. Skills.
I'm just gonna throw it right there. It's on the gram right now.
Let me ask you this. The school of golf thing. I know you mentioned Morgan Hoffman and a couple other kids.
Yep.
Did those kids enjoy being there?
It was a strange transition. So, Shay Fang.
Yeah, the LPGA player.
Yeah, the first born or first Chinese from China player.
Okay. Yeah. I know you're talking about
Marta Silva. They played at Georgia. Marta was amazing.
Hold on. Who did you say Fang? You're not saying Shan Shan?
She always said Shay Shay. We called her Jenny.
But is it spelled like Shan Shan?
Yeah, I mean, she's top 10 in the world, isn't she?
Yeah, she's great. Okay.
Yeah. But she went by Jenny.
Well, that makes it easier.
And then Suzanne Pedersen they were all Gary Gilchrist players. Gary offered scholarships to these guys in high school. So Gary went from Hilton Head to down. He opened up a place in Orlando. It was a little bit longer. I mean, it was Bishopsgate, or it was right around somewhat. So, but Morgan was a senior and Marta was a senior. So they just, I mean, they just kind of rode out the wave. Morgan was already committed to Oklahoma State. And Marta was not committed anywhere. Marta had every school coming at her. And I remember I came over to Texas with Marta as her parental chaperone on the plane. And Martha Richards was coaching, and she really liked Texas. But then Georgia, they brought her over a football game. It was a done deal.
Yeah, can't beat that SEC.
Yeah.
But did they like it?
Yeah. So did the kids.
I think they loved it. So when I was there, Dufusky Island, you know, the high school kids lived on Dufusky Island. And then there's a sneaky great golf course right on the tip, Hag Point.
Yeah, part of it.
So high school kids lived on an island where there's no cars, and they couldn't get off. It was almost like a jail. because the boat going back, there's only one boat that went back and forth, and the boat drivers knew. I mean, if you see a high school kid, I mean, you're not allowed on the boat. It's not a big boat either.
So literally all they could do is play golf.
Yeah, there's two golf courses. Here's an interesting story. They had two golf courses there, Melrose and Bloody Point. My last day in Hilton Head, if I was moving on a Sunday, my Saturday, Melrose went, this Hank Haney's place was moving off the island, off the Fusky, and they were moving back over to... They consolidated in Bluffton.
There's no more golf course there. It went away. It was like Hilton Head National or something.
Really?
And I just had a camp there last year. Yeah. Wow. It's a cool spot though.
I was on hole 15, the par 3 at Melrose, and the place went bankrupt, and they came around in a golf cart and said, the last boat is leaving in 45 minutes. You need to get off the golf course now and get on this boat. And they took the cup. I was on the putting green with Jacob Wilmer from Nevada Reno. They pulled the whole cup out of the ground, and I'm standing on the fringe, and they dumped, you know, the divot bucket. They filled it with sand. That was my. And then we're like,
we're done.
And we drove our cart in, and that was it. We ended on 15. That was my last memory of Hilton Head.
And you just had to leave then.
Yeah, there was a little bar right beside the boat launch, and we sat at the bar and had a couple, you know, relaxed.
So you lived on the island too?
I lived on Hilton Head. I didn't live on Dufusky. I'd take an hour boat ride every day.
Oh, okay. But the kids were all on Dufusky.
Yeah, they went to high school in the morning and then, you know, practice from 1 to 5 every day.
Man. It was fun. Growing up.
Do you stay in touch with Morgan Hoffman?
Yeah. I mean, not as much as that. I mean, I check in on him and ask him how he's doing and this and that. And I texted him this morning, asked him, we were talking about writing a letter or, you know, what he can do.
Just for me, I know it was completely a different high school. I just couldn't imagine wanting to play golf that much and wanting to just be around people that wanted to play golf.
Yeah.
It would just be a different experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny seeing the kids now. I mean, especially on social media, you kind of keep in with them. And these kids are 28 years old. And, I'm like, I remember you when you were. But it was a fun job. Those kids, they had to play on the IJGT tour, 4 tournaments a semester. And I had a blast. I mean, we were in teams of 24 kids with one lead coach, and then we had three like kind of younger instructors like myself. And we would go on it was a big charter bus. I signed up for all the Disney ones. So I went to Disney.
We just had Bob Burns on a couple weeks ago, and you can still go to Disney and see his flag.
Yeah, I mean, I had a blast. You know, I signed up for all. I mean, I was single. You know, I didn't have any kids, a wife. I mean, it was like, yeah, you want to go to Disney for the weekend? Yeah, I'll sign up. They paid me to go to Disney.
Well, I mean, I can imagine being 24, living on Hilton Head, and you teach golf all day. I mean, that's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, it's an interesting island because you have all the retired folks, and it's actually kind of sad in the winter when it's just empty. You get all the summer people in for the beach and this and that, and it's busy, and it's a tough spot to get around. There's on the island, they have all the city codes for colors and signs, and you know, the Walmart parking lot. My first day there, I got lost in the Walmart parking lot for about 15 minutes. I couldn't figure out how to get out because there's only one Walmart.
There's one ways everywhere.
One ways everywhere, and there's people everywhere. It's the first time I've ever basically been out of Michigan in Canada, and there's all these trees in the parking lot.
Yeah,
and ponds, and then. So the other thing, the one exit I wanted to get out of, there was an alligator sunbathing right there. So I couldn't get out that way. So everyone's backed up waiting for this alligator move. I can't go anywhere. And I keep circling around, and I'm just lost. I couldn't get a Walmart.
And there are traffic circles everywhere?
Everywhere.
Now you're in Austin, Texas, dude. You are a culture shock everywhere you go.
Put the hill in Hilltoppers.
I feel the pain though. I'm gonna get there'll be 7 or 8 words tonight that I said that I'll get roasted on tomorrow.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You've already texted me a picture with my DVD.
Oh yeah, I put that on Instagram.
Can you can you tweet that to me and just be like, hey,
that picture.
Yeah, just be like, hey, St. Edwards, look at.
Yeah, look what you're missing. Yeah, what can we do? What can we do with all of our 273,000 listeners? What can we do to promote the cause?
Just keep talking about how important college golf is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Right. I mean, like
you said.
That's
how we're all here. That's how we're all here right now.
So. I appreciate you guys. Hey, figure out how to get Dismuke, and he's got some great stories. He's got one of this kid in Ole Miss where on the first hole of qualifying, the first one of the year, he opens – on the first hole, he got real nervous, this guy. He was a walk-on, and he opens a Coors Light out of his bag on the first hole of qualifying. He looks at Diz, and this is – this is his first week of coaching. The guy's like, it's still cold. and he pops a Coors Light on the first hole to help with nerves.
what did this do?
He just laughed. I don't know the kid's name or what happened if he stuck around, but the first hole he popped a beer.
We had a guy. Diz would know who he was if I told this story, but he pulled up at AU Club on the bottom end of the range, and we were having a demo day with like Titleist or whatever. And he pulled up, and this was on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and he opened the back of his car, and his cooler just spilled over and fell out, and I bet 75 beers went everywhere, and it was rocks. So they were hitting, and some of them spewed and went everywhere. We were like, oh, God. So there's some.
Did that guy, did he make it?
Yeah, he was one of our regular five. Just like
on tour. I'm at...
just like the party. No, he's not on tour. No, but he was all SEC player.
Who was the guy? What's the hole at Grand Nationals? Is it 15 or the hard par three, real narrow, long? 15, 16?
What, 15? 15.
Yeah. I forget who it is. One of your guys in qualifying was so cheap with his balls from Coach Griffin. 15,
15's an island green.
Yeah, real narrow, right?
Yeah, it's a hard hole.
Yeah, in qualifying, he would just go to the... They used to play, the water hazard was the closest box up.
Yeah.
And he would just go up there and hit three so he wouldn't have to waste the golf ball. that's probably worth a text to Diz and ask him about what one of your teammates, like, hey, Hill was talking about the guy. Every round he did it because he didn't want to lose a golf ball.
There were a few candidates for that one.
He told me how Duffner just used to play worst ball scrambles by him and just absolutely just it was the best thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, I wasn't ever on the Duffner when I got there. Duffner had just left, but he would come and he played with us a bunch when I was still in school. And we'd play five man wolf, and he would always go by himself. It didn't matter. Didn't matter where he hit it, or what. I mean, what happened? What was on the line? He'd go by himself every time. Just whatever. I mean,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Every time.
We need more Duffner stories. Why can't we get Duffner on here?
Is he
in Auburn still?
Yeah, last I heard, he still lives there.
He built a stadium there. he built like a 10,000 square foot house in Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, built a stadium.
As John Rusk would say, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
No.
Dang.
All right. Well, we've probably taken enough of your time, Chris.
I had fun, guys.
Yeah.
And you need to get
it. We'll do it. We'll do it again. We'll get an update from you this summer at some point.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, so, Chris. Good luck.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
That's your neighbor?
Yeah, you know Hal.
Oh.
Richard's dad.
Yeah, I know Hal.